8:16 in the morning.
You're trying to rub in that you're stealing him away from his family duties.
No, it was, the kids are going to school. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just hanging out. The UPS guy came with a new hard drive.
You guys sat down and started watching the game.
Well, UPS should have made you realize it wasn't bloody Saturday.
Well, exactly. That's sort of what happened.
All right. UPS delivers on Saturday now, like around here anyway.
They deliver on Sunday.
Sunday delivery stream. It's another delivery day for them.
I was going to say yes, but only for like $800 or something.
No, it's just you can expect stuff on Saturday. Still with, like, if you have free shipping from Amazon, it'll just show up on Saturday. It freaked me out.
Again, first, even Sunday in some cases now with Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what's awesome is I went to freaking Amazon Whole Foods yesterday. It was kind of like one of my first outings, and it was insane. Like, the prices were cheaper, and the funniest thing, though, is you roll right in the front, and then there's all the blueberries and strawberries and, like, all of the summer kit, and there's a huge stack of Echo and Echo Dots on sale in the middle of Whole Foods in the produce section.
Who bought Trader Joe's?
Nobody. It was Amazon bought Whole Foods, but Trader Joe's is still family owned, I think.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah,
I wish somebody would buy them and bring them this way, because the regular company, they don't want to fly, so they don't want to do it. Well, same thing with In-N-Out. Like, they would love to come this way, but they won't fly. Both come. How are you going to be afraid to fly? What the hell is wrong with you?
Can I start?
Yeah, yes, we should start. Yep. Sorry.
Who owned Trader Joe's? There we go. Thank you. We'll be back again next week. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the stuff that's gone on in Apple in the week where nothing actually really happened anyway, as usual. Still in the holidays here. Kids don't go back till next week, so that's why there's a little bit of a lull, I guess, in all the tech news. But we got some stuff to talk about. And joining me to discuss it all, fantastic bunch as usual. Top left, bright and early in the morning with his yellowed specs on, Dot Rock.
That's super funny because I almost forgot to switch to my new specs. But then when I sat down, I was like, I don't feel like crutching across the room in the dark. Because I was going to put on my brand new specs.
How's the knees, dude?
It's getting better. It's still like swollen like a baseball. So that's the hardest part is what's at this point right now, what's really stopping the mobility and the moving is it's still so swollen that I can't bend it properly. So the pain's starting to normalize itself. It only bothers me at night. Well, so I'm getting it.
All right. Good man. Glad you're here. Next to him. It's Adam. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right. Trying to stay cool. We had kind of a heat wave lately.
No fires, though, I hope. Like last year.
No. No, thank goodness. That's not been too bad this year. We've had actually a pretty mild summer with actually quite a bit of rain, so it's good for us. But just this last couple of days has been a heat wave. Cool. But good otherwise. When I decided to show up for the show.
Yeah, no. You thought it was Saturday.
I was just like relaxing,
stuff the work,
chilling out. Oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be on the Mac Show, so here we are.
That's all right. Well done.
You're looking quite transparent, by the way.
Yeah, no, so I haven't realized that there's a lot of blue in this shirt. It's a gray shirt, not blue, but there's obviously a lot of blue in that gray. And Brett was giving us a lesson in gray before we started, saying that there's loads of grays that have got blue in and loads of grays that have got red in, and that's why you can get some that'll key out and some that won't. So I'm keying out this week, and I'm stuck with it because I can't go back because we're staying here for a curry. So I'm stuck like this for the night. Semi-transparent, Ewan. Next to him, Patrice. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, doing good. Has been another crazy week, but I'm very happy that it's Friday as we established. I mean, I'm in the same boat as Adam. I think if it wasn't for my Apple Watch, I probably wouldn't have remembered that the show was today, but somehow it reminded me.
That does sound a bit like, who bothers? Suddenly you.
No, I was happy. I saw it and said, hey, cool, yeah, let's do this. I mean, there has been plenty of news this week, so.
Nice save. Okay, we'll take that one. And joining us after the summer recess, Brett, how you doing, mate?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right.
That was a dumb response. I think
your transparency is part of the new British tech network policy to increase transparency.
It's a government.
That's what everyone's doing now anyway.
Yes, there's no more state secrets in BTN anymore.
Right. I applaud that.
I'm trying to keep quiet the fact that we're shit at all the technical stuff, which for a tech network isn't great, I suppose.
Doing good this week so far, knock on wood.
Yeah, no one's sussed it yet, no. Mm. Actually, to that end, I must announce we've got a new show coming.
Ooh, really?
So do you guys know who Anders is?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's one of the backroom guys. He keeps all of the servers and stuff running with Wheaters. And he and I have been talking, and I said, I did the 1.0 CLS 2.0 print you and ranking type stuff in school, and I got the idea of sequences and that kind of stuff, but I don't know how to program anything, and I want to learn to program something, because Ellis is going to be learning stuff, and I'm going to be way behind, and I'm going to look like a right old fart. And Anders says, no worries, mate, I'll teach to code in Python. So what we're going to do is have a 1-hour phone call every week during his lunch period, where he's going to teach me to code Python on the Mac.
Cool.
And that's
why
it.
Python?
Because he's a Python ninja for a start. You know, that would help. And it's a good system, apparently, that's fairly basic and fairly easy to get into. So so that's the theory of it. So we're going to call it, I was going to call it the Coding Cretin, because that would be me. But we're going to call it the Hello World Show. And it's going to be just the 1 hour, and we're going to be strict on, hello, mate, how you doing? Yeah, fine. To, okay, see you next week, bye, put the phone down, and it's going to be 1 hour on a timer, and we're going to publish exactly that with no edits. So everyone gets it, warts and all, with all of the mistakes that I make and all that kind of stuff, and all the bits where I go, I can't remember what I learned last week, etc., and that kind of thing. So it should be really, really good. And if you want to learn to code in Python, trust me, you don't want to listen.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
I don't know why you would like to learn that, but...
Have you at least done Swift Playgrounds? Have you messed with that at all?
No, not had a go with it at all. I might give it a go just to, before we start.
Whole system's amazing, and with the new version that they're working on, they keep making it better and better. I mean, it's really pretty basic at first, but you can, if you download some of the more advanced lessons that people are publishing, you can get into some pretty cool stuff.
I did basic at school on a Commodore PET 4K, and I did all right in that, and I did some fairly complicated stuff, but I can't remember any of the stuff that I did. I can't remember any of the commands or anything.
Yeah, so. Coding's gotten a lot better since BASIC, too.
Oh, yes.
you're going to have a good time.
Yeah,
the computer I did it on had 4K, mate. Come on. So what? Isn't it? I mean, it's just like...
Even the commands, for as great as BASIC was, I mean, it was BASIC was tricky, you know?
Yeah.
The funniest thing about this whole conversation is Patrice is a coding snob, because he goes, why would you want to learn that? Like, it was a bad thing. Python is awesome. But still, it's just funny that I'm a code snob. How dare you talk about Python?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, Swift Playgrounds are awesome. I mean, anybody who asks me I want to start coding, where should I start? I say, I mean, do you have an iPad, right? Yeah, okay. Swift Playgrounds, start there. Yeah. That's it. If it's someone at my day job, we usually start with something else. I just taught one of our students last couple of weeks Java, because, well, that's what he wanted to learn, and that's what he was interested in. So I said, okay, let's do Java. We are doing a lot of Java anyway. But yeah, I don't like Python, to be honest. This is going deep, deep into languages and coding and stuff. But any language that basically uses tabs and whitespace for structure is, in my book, not a proper language.
You know what it is, right? Is all you code snobs have a hang up on the differences between coding and scripting. And although Python is a real coding language, it's scripting oriented, so it's too easy for the normal code people who like to walk around and hold their ding out, because that's the only chance they ever have a chance to do so, and then so they get all heated about it because it's not like C. I'm like, come on, dudes, relax.
Well, honestly,
to make the computer do something without me having to do it, it don't matter whether it's coding or scripting.
All right, bollocks, I don't want to do it anymore.
That's true.
You two, if you are going to argue over it, I'm not doing it. All right.
No, I'm just telling you, be ready for
it. No, it's fine.
People are going to say, people are going to say that Python is encoding, even though it is a legit, of all the scripting languages, it is a real language, but yeah. People just...
Do you know what?
I think you misunderstood me a little bit. I didn't say Python was encoding. I said Python is not a good language to do coding in. Any language that you want to learn, any language that you're interested in is fine. I mean, if Ewan wants to learn Python, well, go do it. It's better than not doing it. You should do it.
You guys notice the coder isn't saying anything. He's just wearing his headphones and leaning back and practicing yoga.
If you need to go to the toilet, go. It's fine. That's what Patricia said.
I started with Ruby out of necessity, but when people ask me whether they should learn Ruby or Python, I generally say Python because so many, yep. I don't know, Python people are so into it, I guess. I'm kind of with Patrice on the, I don't like spacing defining structure. I like actual begin end statement, but I don't know.
We'll see. I'm just being quiet because I'm the PHP guy and we get it from all angles too, so
yeah, they are, as you can see, they are fine.
PHP and basically JavaScript can both be anything you want them
well,
to be.
Well, so here's the thing, fellas. I mean, one of the things that I've gone to Code Academy and had a go at the Python thing in Code Academy, and yep. the one thing that struck me was, and this happens an awful lot, is when you look at how someone explains the basics of something, they'll use a word, but they won't tell you what that word actually means.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, and it was just a simple thing. And this struck me, and I understand what an integer is, but it started off by saying, this is an integer. Okay, great. But it didn't say what the purpose of an integer was and what it would do with it afterwards. Mm. And that's a real problem. And that's the thing that Anders is really good at. Because Anders is good, because he understands it, he's good at boiling it back to the fundamentals of the basics of what the thing does and then building on that. You know, the glossary of terms, if you like, is what should start every single lesson with, and a lot of the stuff that's on Code Academy, I've found, doesn't do that.
Right. Well, they make assumptions that people know basic terms, and especially for intro starting stuff, that's a really bad assumption to make. And it's not just in coding training. I see it in all kinds of different lessons and stuff like that. It's amazing how many online lessons make that basic mistake.
Yeah. We just, I mean, it even happens if you have someone who has a lot of development experience. If he switches to something else, I don't know, some framework or something. We just got feedback from a developer who's learning our proprietary internal framework, and he basically told us, yeah, the documentation is fine if you already know everything, but the basic stuff is missing. So I think it's the same everywhere. It's not even related to development at all. It just happens. And you have to be aware of how you teach people the basics first before you go into the boons of whatever is cool about it.
Well, there was an interesting conversation that we were having in just the trustees room. And Wita said something about, well, why don't you start programming this? And Anders' response was quite good. And it actually threw a light on in my head straight away. He went, no, because that's a document. It's not programming. And of course it is. And even that simple statement threw a light on in my head that was like, yeah, okay, I got that. And as a result, CSS made a lot more sense to me just from that one statement. All of a sudden, from what the little is that I know of it. Anyway, but it's coming. It's going to be the Hello World show, and it's going to be me and Anders, and it's going to be once a week, and it's just going to be a telephone conversation with a bit of Skype maybe and a bit of interaction with this keyboard. We'll put it out as video, and you can learn along with Ewan.
Really good luck, man.
Fail along with you, and there we go. Right, the week in Apple. What's gone on? We did intros, didn't we? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, him did. Okay. Right. Just don't be rude.
I redirected it onto you. So
thanks, man. Definitely the 12th then, and the Steve Jobs Theater is going to be used. Is that a definite?
That's
or is that a possible?
The best part.
Is that a definite?
That's a definite. It's in the invite.
I thought it was a definite. Yeah. It's been at the Billy Graham Auditorium, not the religious bloke, and it's going to be to the 1,000-seat Steve Jobs Theater in the new headquarters campus.
And I called it. I said it will be on my birthday. I was correct.
Yeah, you did say 12th, absolutely. Patrice told me that it was going to be the 11th for iOS 11 release. So you better be right.
No, I told you the 12th would be the date, and the 13th the iOS release.
That's my mom's birthday.
Check your messages.
Is my, I'm your mom?
Your mom?
I should. I'll get you guys talking. It'll be fun.
Doc
you
gave,
have nothing in common.
Doc gave birth to Brett.
Yeah.
That could get weird.
One more night when I was on the bender.
No, nothing bad about that at all. So we're definitely getting iPhone 8 and iPhone 7S maybe, and we're definitely getting augmented interaction-y type stuff.
Right.
Any other, are we going to get an Apple TV 4K?
Yeah.
Yes, but not at the. It'll be not at this event, but we are getting one because they already.
The, you don't think they're going to announce it?
No, the code stuff leaked into the dev kit.
Right, but there's not going to be an announcement of a box at this event. This is just pure iPhone.
They might announce it, or they might say it's coming out later, but it's going to be one of those Christmas present joints. I don't think they're ready to pull it in September because there's no trigger to buy it right now, and they already kind of missed the laptops for Christmas. I mean, laptops for back to school sale. That's coming with Beats and gift cards again.
Who's ever bought an Apple TV as a Christmas present? It's like, I love you so much, I bought you an Apple TV. You're like, bastard.
Oh, that's, bro, I'm giving out like 20 of them things. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure Apple will announce it. They basically already did. I mean, back in June, Tim Cook basically said, there is an Apple TV coming more soon. So we already know there is one coming. I think they will simply say fall, and it will be probably October or early November.
Rumors about the Amazon app not coming, though.
Yeah, what is wrong with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, do we know the cause of why it's not coming?
I have no clue. I mean, especially since Apple announced it, I made the presumption that meant that Amazon and Apple had buried whatever strife that they had.
And
I can't imagine that there's a technical agreement.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's the right answer from Bet. Say that again, man.
What was it?
Well, licensing agreements. I assume that... I mean, we've seen a lot of the content provider companies renegotiating very quickly on things. I assume, with no actual evidence, I assume that Amazon and Apple are still trying to work out some profitability issues.
Yeah.
Well, I have an alternative idea what it could be. It could be a technical thing that their development... I mean, we just talked about development.
Why?
That their development simply is behind.
Well, because you think about it... Okay, so we're talking tvOS versus iOS, right? And even with Ewan having zero skills whatsoever, he could take the app from from iOS, roll it up into the dev kit, and spit out a tvOS app with just a few minor changes, all from watching YouTube videos.
I'm flattered. I'm incredibly flattered, but go on.
No, but so I mean, because the application on iPad exists. The application on iPhone exists. So moving it to tvOS should pretty much be like, you know, pissing into a swimming pool in the dark and hitting water. That's not it. It has to be licensing.
Especially with Apple engineers probably willing to help them make that transition.
Yeah.
You would
think. That project has got to be so simple.
That might be true, but what if they want to create an entirely new app? Then it's not as simple anymore. If they are really starting from scratch, because the current app isn't that good.
Every single device gets a new app.
I know.
It's true, though. Their current app is not great on, like, Roku. Yeah. And I would also assume that Apple would have a higher standard for their UI and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The UI in the iPad app isn't that bad now. The UI in the iPhone sucks, and it really shines on the Fire TV in comparison to, say, my Xbox, my Sony over there. What else do I have it on?
Quite like it on the iPad Pro. I think it does all right. It's almost got a Netflixy kind of feel to it, which actually I quite like the Netflix interface.
Mm-hmm.
So. Just my thoughts. Not that I know anything.
So I don't know. They just need to get that done. I mean, the point is that however that deal happens, however that makes it to Apple TV, I see that as if they do announce a new 4K Apple TV and Amazon's not coming with it, they've kind of missed something, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah.
They needed
maybe they saw the travesty that Hulu made out of their TV app. and thought maybe we should rethink this this plan we have.
Yeah.
Do any of you think it's to do with still haggling over pricing, or is it just strict doability of Apple?
Well, and that when I say licensing, I mean that includes pricing.
Yeah. I think it's definitely the pricing thing, which is kind of dumb because they probably Apple doesn't want to concede to Amazon just due to their pure size, because then everybody else who they never conceded to would be, well, why'd you let Mikey do it when you didn't let me have any? So they have to find a way to do a deal which has a really high penalty if they ever leak it, and just say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to give you sweetheart deals. But if anybody ever finds out about it, we'll bury you.
But they already conceded to HBO and to Hulu and to
Netflix.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've already gone out on the record as, you know, conceding. And I'm guessing that, you know, the one difference here is maybe Amazon wants an even better deal. I don't know.
It has something to do like that, because you know what's funny is on the something that I have that contains Google. Oh, I have YouTube Red, and I my credit card expired, and so I was going to put it back in, and I used my iPhone to put it back in a second time, and my bill went from $9 a month to $12 a month.
Right.
And I didn't notice it for like 4 months. I was like, what the? And so I had to go and unsubscribe from my phone and then go redo it from my computer. It's just one of those things. So maybe because of their sheer size, like Google's still getting screwed, but why would, I mean, not HBO. So is it because Google is the primary competition and HBO is an ancillary competition?
I think HBO asked for a deal and Apple gave it to them. I mean, not as simply as that. Obviously, there was a lot of negotiation, but I mean, that's the rumor, is that they went in and said, look, we don't want to do the 30% cut. And the rumor is that all those guys are getting, Apple's taking half. They're taking a 15% cut instead of a 30.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, what you as a developer also get after a year. If someone subscribes to you for a full year, you also get just a 15% cut. Or Apple just only takes a 15% cut this way.
Right.
So yeah, is that
per app?
That's per subscription. Yeah.
Per subscription per app. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Not per developer.
No. Not per developer.
No, the developer is actually getting more after the first year. Apple takes a smaller cut.
So I'm a Prime subscriber, and I'm going to get, if Apple TV takes it on in the UK, which is highly suspicious that it will straight away anyway. But I'm going to get my Prime through the TV app, or have I got to buy the app for Amazon, or is it only for purchased content, and I'll still get all my Prime stuff for free anyway? It's only the extra purchases that I make that will get charged and recouped to Apple.
You know what, Ewan, you just figured out what part of the hang-up might be.
Thanks, man.
I'm dead serious. The Prime stuff, it's probably no problem to Apple. Apple probably doesn't care much about that. But where it becomes a hassle is, right now, if I wanted to go get a copy of Sing in 4K for Emma to watch, I could buy it through my Amazon account with all of my Amazon credit and not pay a dime, and it will show up in the app, or I could buy it from iTunes, or I could rent it from Amazon, or I could rent it from iTunes, and the price is exactly the same. So the bitch is probably... Jeff is saying, yo, Tim, if they're in the Amazon app and then they order the movie or rent the movie from the Amazon app, why should I pay you for that? Because it's in Amazon. They could do that on a computer. They could do that on a Fire. And Tim is going, well, Jeff, you dick, because there's going to be 5-6 million brand new people.
And what? So, yeah. And what if I buy in on the web, and then will it show up in the app so I can watch it in the app? And then will I still owe you the money or not? Yeah.
Amazon, but that's the problem. They probably have to figure out a way that you can't buy and rent movies from inside the Amazon Prime Video app on Apple TV, and then Apple would let it go. But then in the same token, they're going, but you just said I'm going to get 5 million new windows. Why would I slam them all shut? So that's probably the complication right there, is just that ability, because that's the one app that has basically identical competition to the App Store with just a smaller selection, or the iTunes Store.
So either Brent's video's frozen or he's gone to sleep.
you know where it gets even weirder, Doc, is if Amazon is integrating their app, their TVOS app, with the TV app, what you just described gets even stranger because now Amazon rentals and movie content and TV content is right at the same level in an Apple app with Apple's own stuff. So am I going to see like two copies of, you know, Sing, one iTunes and one Apple? Or I think the way they work it is you see the one copy and then you click and then you have the option to go one direction or the other to make your purchase.
Yeah. Yes. Which, in my opinion,
I know
is
Apple's not going to do it, but I would love them to allow TVO app to integrate with Plex.
Oh, yes. Basically, the TV app right now is pretty much useless for me because Plex isn't integrated.
That and my TV provider, which is Spectrum, like the biggest one in the country. Spectrum has some stupid deal with Roku, so therefore I can't search all of that good Spectrum content inside the TV app. Also, single sign-in doesn't work on the largest TV provider in the United States because Spectrum just bought, like, you know, Bright Home and Charter and one other one. So, like, Spectrum is bigger than Cox now, but it won't work because of stupid deal with Roku. Who made a deal with Roku?
Yeah.
You go outside and be beat.
I confess I'm a geek in the chat room. He's saying lots of apps, still no Apple TV for us. ITV, Channel 4, BBC, Channel 5. We don't have the TV bit of Apple TV in the UK. And he does make a point that we don't have any TV apps here because we don't get Hulu or any of that kind of rubbish anyway. So, but the problem is it's not an Apple fault, I don't think. It's just that the BBC haven't made... ITV haven't made an app, Channel 4 haven't made an app, and Channel 5 haven't made an app. And one of the problems that they've got is the fact that they are absolutely anal about the geo-licensing. Because trying to log on to watch anything on ITV, they want your blood from your firstborn child, and not just your email address, and your declarations of where you are and all that kind of rubbish. And you're like, oh, come on. Yeah. Sod off.
I mean,
I'm not that bothered about watching a repeat of something that I don't really care about in the first place. Sod off. I'm not doing it.
I mean, as someone who likes to watch a lot of things, I mean, either from the UK or from the US, and I mean, in English, I can tell you it's pretty hard to get to that because most apps and most services are heavily geo-locked, and there's not even a way around it anymore. I mean, I would like to pay for it, and I do it for example, for the NFL. I can just pay for it and I get it. But for most apps, I mean, Hulu, HBO, BBC, Channel 5, things like I like. I mean, channels I like to watch. I can't. There's no legal way of getting to that content. And that's,
oh my God, Patricia, you just made me think of a funny licensing situation yesterday. It just drove me crazy. So I'm sitting here, my leg is jacked, and I was in the bedroom, and then the Raiders game come on. So I'm like, cool, I got the NFL app. I paid them $100 a week ago. So I open up the app, and I go click on Raiders and Seahawks. All right, cool. And it goes, this game has been blacked out in your area. Yeah. And I'm like, hold up. I just gave you $100. Why is this blacked out in my area? Yeah. So it's because it's on the TV. But the thing that's so irritating, the reason why I bought the NFL package the way I bought it is because a lot of times I don't want to be in the TV room to watch the game. I kind of want to be by myself in the room. And like, you know, if Emma's over or whatever, so I don't want to like make her stop watching what she's watching to watch boring football with me. The good football I make her watch. So Manchester, you get a 4-0 licking, you get a 4-0 licking, you get a 2-0 licking, top of the table, shut up, Mona. Anyway. The whole point of this is that blackout thing is so dumb at this point because all I ended up doing was closing the NFL app and opening my cable company app, which is Spectrum TV, and then scrolling down to the channel that is on the Spectrum and watch it in the same damn iPad. It's like, you're not thwarting anything. Like, stop that. We can get access to our local stations, and the only reason why you ever get blackouts is based on local stations. And in the U.S., it's super simple because if it got like last year when I would get that before I decided to buy NFL again, I would just go open up Pure VPN, which logs into San Francisco and the Raiders game is on the web for free from the local affiliate. So I'm like, it's so dumb at this point.
I spotted it when I was, because I saw the very last game that was at the Pontiac Dome.
Oh, nice.
The Silver Dome. And it was a college game, I think, and Aretha Franklin sang at halftime. So it was like, you know, if you're going to go out, that's one of the best ones to have. But I was talking to my cousin, and he said, I said, why are you going to Ford Field? Because it's in the middle of town, so you've got parking issues and all that kind of crap. And he said, well, there was money put up from the city and that kind of stuff. And I said, you've gone from like 100,000 people here at the Silver Dome down to 60,000 down there. And he said, it's because of the blackouts. And he, I said, what do you mean? He said, how are you going to get 100,000 people to give a shit about the Lions?
Right. Yeah.
And it's true. That's exactly it.
Oh, well, he said because of the blackouts. I thought you meant because of Detroit.
No, no, because they couldn't get, they couldn't fill the Thunderdome.
Yeah, you get a blackout if you can't fill the stadium.
Exactly. So they got a blackout. Yeah. So they went to a place that was 40,000 seats less so that they wouldn't get the blackout.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so funny.
We've talked a lot there about the Apple TV, which we don't even know is happening on the 12th. That was cool, wasn't it?
Right.
No, but that's a good talk, though, because that's the frustrations of everybody that wants to watch this new world of disambiguated content that's not being very friendly or disambiguated yet.
It breeds, control breeds piracy, plain and simple. And it breeds VPNs.
Mm-hmm.
It's good money for the VPN providers. No question.
Hey, maybe we could say it encourages VPN use, which, you know, we're living in a time where that's actually a really good thing. So
that's true.
Maybe we owe them a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, but it's
just
not,
kidding.
It's not
I'm joking.
The right thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got Sky on my on my.
Gonna get you and going again.
No. I've got the Sky application on my iPad Pro here to watch the F1 and stuff like that. And when it comes on, if I've got the VPN on, it won't let me watch it. Even if it's queued up to the UK, it won't let me watch it. You can't watch this with the VPN on.
Yeah,
I was going to say that.
Netflix is doing the same thing.
Okay.
And China and Russia in general have both been cracking down on VPN use within the country.
And then you say, okay, well, look, can I just push the sound out, please, to a better sound system like a Bluetooth speaker? Nope. It's got to come through the unit. And then you... Okay, so that means actually now I've got to plug earphones in because it won't allow it to Bluetooth it to my AirPods, which is stupid. So that means I can't listen. I've got to listen to a wired connection for it. So what happens when the earphone socket disappears on the iPad Pro eventually? And you just like you're trying so hard to brick it and lock it down that it's just the amount of money you must be spending is far beyond anything that you're talking about in terms of piracy control. Because it's not working, because people are still getting it. So all I've got to do is start up my laptop, and my laptop has got a physical audio out, so fine. And all I've got to do is plug a monitor in, and then it still tries to control it, but it can't. They've issued a whole new application now for OS 10. It doesn't use Silverlight or any of the browser stuff anymore. It's its own application, and it still tries to choke you, but it's so easy to get past. If you're a pub and you want to show Sky Sports, it's a piece of piss if you've got a laptop or a desktop. It's only if you're trying to do it from phones and iPads, which who the hell's going to do that in a pub? It's pointless.
It's so dumb.
Even that you can get around.
There's a wrong logic going on everywhere in the world of viewing. And if you look at, I mean, that's, if you get into a net neutrality discussion as well associated with copyright control and that kind of stuff, and you say, oh, your head's going to explode. It's unreal.
Yep.
Apple's weighed in on that this week as well, haven't they, on net neutrality?
Yep. Yes, they did.
Finally.
Well, yeah, but I can't. I think that's a boulder that's too big now to stop, or a snowball that's rolling down the hill that's too big to stop.
What they should do, and what everybody should do right now, just it'd be super irritating for a little while, but it'd be kind of good. Have all the smartphone providers have a thing that when you power your phone on and you cycle your phone, a little dialogue pops up that says, "Press this button to re-email the FFC." And your senator, who you filled out in this thing. So your senators, your congressmen, everybody, you fill out this list once, and every time you reboot your phone, you press that, and it just emails them. Or a reminder comes up.
You could just add a button to every error message, every dialogue.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
Like, okay, cancel, email the representative.
Yeah, it wouldn't help anything.
A reminder. And then they will get flooded in hours. They will get flooded. And then they're like, okay, we got to stop being dicks because the people have a better chance.
And then they'll go, see, this is why we need to be able to pay for bigger pipes so that we can handle all this email.
Oh yes. that's sadly not gonna work. I mean, emails you can just filter out. You really, I mean, basically, I don't know, once a day there should be a dialogue. Please, I mean, do you have 5 minutes to call your whatever senator or representative to talk to him about this? I think that's the only thing. If you call someone, they cannot just delete you.
There's a service where you can, through SMS, fax. You put in your like zip code, mm-hmm. and it figures out who your reps are, and then you type your message, and then it puts it onto the letterhead with all the necessary info and faxes it to everyone mm-hmm. involved.
That doesn't the thing is, Brett, that doesn't actually do anything. All that's for is a service which scares the shit out of them, because the machine in the corner that they don't know how to use suddenly starts to spew stuff out.
Right, but you can't filter it. And well, it's a physical.
I'm pretty sure that someone will figure that out, because there is fax to email, for example. So
when was the last time anyone here actually sends a pure fax, an actual fax from a fax machine to another fax machine?
Oh, I haven't seen a fax machine since the mid '90s.
Yeah. I had to.
All my faxes really come to my computer.
I owned one.
Yeah.
And it was
I did it recently for something. I don't remember what it was, like last year. And they insisted I have to fax them something. And it was a large document, like 20 pages. And I went to where my P.O. box is, like a UPS store. And it was like $2 a page is what they were charging. Because no one uses like it.
You had to it's supply and demand. And you know? Then fax?
Yeah, no. And that's the same price they were charging in 1988.
Exactly. But it was I can't email you a PDF. I've got to like go down here and like send this thing from one machine, stupid machine. Oh, don't get me going.
Use TrustFax or something. You can send a PDF to the web service and it faxes it for you. That's what I always did with doctors and lawyers that needed faxes.
Yeah, right.
I had a customer the other week say, "Can you give it me on a DVD?" No. And I was like, I could probably, well, no, hang on. I know that Costco still sell discs, so I can go and get a disc, but I haven't got anything to write the disc in. And then I thought, hang on, I have. So I found it. And then I said, but do you want it as a file on there? And they went, no, write it as a DVD. What, like a film DVD? Yeah, so that you've got like a menu and that, yeah. No, I can't do that.
What the hell? Apple killed iDVD. How am I supposed
to do that? Yeah, exactly.
I can't do that.
I'm going to need that on a jazz drive.
Look, what? I think we've got a title.
Those aren't jazz drives. These are jazz drives.
It was like, no, I have no, and I thought, do I search the App Store for DVD Maker or some DVD Maker Pro contains in-app purchases.
I think I own that. I don't know why.
I can't believe I'm having this brain fart because I used it a lot. What was the Apple's full-on DVD program called?
iDVD.
Player.
The iDVD was for twerps. I mean, for real people.
Did they have DVD Studio Pro or something like that?
Oh, that's what it is. There it is. DVD Studio Pro. Yeah, I that was my whole job, was authoring those things for the State Visitor Bureau. They're a pain in the butt.
I'm going to need that on a jazz drive.
That's freaking hilarious.
There are some people in chat room who still have a copy of iDVD and it still works.
Does it still work in the infrastructure? If you stick it, will it still run on Sierra?
I have a copy somewhere. I could try it.
Right. That's your mission during the rest of the show then, mate. Yeah.
if you can find a CD-ROM drive to install it.
Well, I have to go in the other room and get my... I put my super drive out of my Mac in a different enclosure, and I think even to get it to mount on this Mac, I have to do some...
Don't worry.
Some hacking.
It's not some, that one's really bad.
I'm going to pull it up and hex edit in a file and like tell it that it exists.
Build a time machine. Be quick.
IDVD.
Yesterday, right?
Era. It's the number two suggestion on Fill It Out For You Google. Nice. Can IDVD work on Sierra?
So yesterday...
Actually, you know what I do to do discs now is I have an old 2009 iMac and I do the DVD sharing, and that still works over the network.
You awesome. Have an iMac. You have a Mac just for burning discs.
That's what. And also, why are you burning
DVD
discs?
iDVD works. It just crashes a lot in Sierra, but iDVD does still work. But it's prone to crashing just because of the interpolation.
So here's the thing. Yesterday in the Cool Things room in the Slack channel, they were talking about a new Logitech keyboard that's out that's got like a dial wheel on the a jog wheel on the top left corner. And right. Someone said, oh, that reminds me of the old Griffin thing. I've had Jake sorting out the room in there, putting everything into categorized storage so that I know where everything is, because I couldn't find stuff last week. And I saw that and I thought, and someone said, oh, that reminds me of me Griffin PowerMate. I was like, yep, I've got one of those.
Yep. I almost bought one yesterday, bro. I was looking at a Griffin PowerMate Bluetooth because the old one
with
the cord is all frayed up.
Right, huh? So here you go. Here's me Griffin PowerMate.
Who said don't do it?
Me, the Bluetooth ones are so crippled. Like you basically, yeah, you have the dial down and the press, and you get no customization with that. I was super disappointed.
So I dug mine out today, and I put it on the desk, and I've installed the latest software, which is about 8 years old, which goes back to when I stopped using it. And
because the new software is crippled too.
Well, no, the new stuff runs just fine on Sierra. It's brilliant.
But it doesn't do jack.
It does. It does programmable. You can. What do you mean? Go on. What do you want it to do then? Make your tea.
I don't even remember now, but I had this bizarre whole logic system set up in the older version. Like if this event happens after this event, and I basically had it customized for every one of my apps, and long press would go into a sequence, and I was using the blinking light on it and everything for notifications. And as soon as I upgraded and got the Bluetooth one, I lost all of that. Could never replicate it.
I'm the wired.
You guys are having two different conversations. Yeah. Ewan has the wired one.
I have the wired one, and it's awesome.
Right. But isn't the software upgrade the same?
Mm-mm. Software is better than it was when I stopped using it by my.
Oh, Ewan said he's using the old software, by the way.
No, I'm using the latest.
Software that came with it.
I'm using the latest version. hang on. Let me look at it. I
remember from one of the very first, Katie and Dan shows that Brett was on, he spent like the whole show talking about his PowerMate. And they were supposed to be talking about better touch tool or whatever.
I've got 3.10, which was manufactured in January the 22nd, 1855.
Cool.
2014. There you go.
Year of our Lord, 1855.
Year of our Lord, yeah. And it's brilliant. It works really well. I've set it up for Final Cut. It's great. I can jog left. I can jog right. I can speed up the jog left and right. So you
did
can.
Did you ever get a Shuttle Express?
I did, yep. And I hated the Shuttle Contour, the Contour Shuttle. I disliked it intently.
I had the 1.0 of that sucker, and it still works
a lot.
Yeah, I had the little one with the five fingers on the top.
Yeah. You didn't like that one?
No, I hated it.
Oh, I got really into that one.
You can buy these new from B&H Photo right now for $40.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bluetooth ones are about $35 if you look around.
No, the Bluetooth one I saw yesterday was $70, and I thought it looks cooler, so I was like, oh, this might be it. But
there you go. And
I'll send you mine.
Yeah. Because all Brett's been doing it with his holding the door open in his office for the last 4 years.
He's been outside with Emma. She's like, dude, this thing is freaking aluminum.
Arctic Musher put in the chat room, and this is going back to the TV discussion. Apparently, if you get the TV player app on the Apple TV in the UK, you can watch Channel 4 and Channel 5. So there's a start.
There you go.
Quite why. Or use your Fire TV. Well done, Muller. There you go. No, I love me little... So there you go. That was inspired by Darren Henley, who's going to be really pleased, actually, because... Richard Cook didn't claim his Spider 5 Pro or Spider 5 Express after last week's show when we told him he had 7 days to get his claim in to prove he was a listener, and he didn't do it. So, Darren Henley, well done, mate. You have won the Spider 5 Express. And just like Richard, you need to send me an email that tells me your name and address and where to send it. And if you don't, then we'll pick someone else next week. Darren, I hope you're listening. Although he's in the Slack room, so I'm being a bit of a bastard.
Holy crap, they won $200 for that stupid keyboard?
It was a rollover D-pad, you're absolutely right. It's $179, that Logitech keyboard with the dial wheel in the top corner, but it's all programmable.
No, that's insane.
It says it's at least as good as the Powermate Bluetooth.
Didn't DOS keyboard have something like that too? On the DOS 2?
DOS. Yes, did I thought you said DOC at first. I'm like, no.
I didn't say DOC or DOS.
I would have known says DOC.
DOS. I would really, 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 really love to find a way to make one of those Surface things work on my computer because it just feels good.
So you'd just be touching it so you could feel good?
No, I'm talking about... It's the tactile feel of it and
just let me roll my finger around the top of that so it feels good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. To be fair, you have been sat in a chair with your leg up for the last few weeks, so yes.
Thank you.
I can imagine that's been the only thing that you can do that give you any pleasure.
What are you talking about? Surface? What kind of Surface?
No, you know, on the new machine, the new Microsoft machines, you can buy something that's known as a Surface dial.
Oh, okay.
And I was in the store getting an Xbox thing, and I played with it, and I played with the Tilty iMac thing. The Tilty iMac thing is beautiful, but it's a little lame because the angles aren't as customizable as you think. But that Surface knob thing, oh my God, that thing is incredible.
The Doc rolling the top of the Surface knob. There we go. So that's going to be a rival to the Jazz Drive one. It's a Surface dial, dude.
I like the...
Is that what I said? What did I say? Surface what? I said Surface dial.
No, you said the Surface knob.
You didn't say knob.
No, that's the bloke. That's the bloke who's operating it.
Thing.
Hey, well, Apple's getting an Emmy for Siri integration on Apple TV.
Oh, you spoiled me, thunder man! I was going to do the comedy stories later. But there we go. Yeah, this is beyond belief. Apple is getting a technical engineering Emmy for Sony integration on Apple TV on a Wednesday. So
Siri integration.
There we go, on a Wednesday. The actual thing is other. I can't remember what the category says. Hang on. Contextual voice navigation for discoverability and interacting with TV content on a Wednesday. That's it.
It doesn't say on a Wednesday.
But
I don't know why you're bagging on that feature. I like that feature.
No, I like the feature too, but that's a funny thing for them to win an Emmy for.
Amazon's voice recognition.
I didn't know there was an Emmy for that.
Amazon's voice recognition to content is so much better than Siri.
Yes, it is.
The times I was sitting there going the other night, I can't remember what I think it was Blood Diamond or something I wanted to watch. I was like, play Blood Diamond. It was just like, I'm sorry. No. Sod off. And it couldn't get the fundamental that I was talking about. And in the end, I was looking for a movie specifically, The Imitation Game. That was it. Show me The Imitation Game. Couldn't do it. Show me The Imitation Game. Couldn't do it. Show me The Imitation Game. Couldn't do it. So I said, show me Cumberbatch movies. And it showed me all of the Cumberbatch movies. And then I got Imitation Game. It couldn't get me the name of the thing. And I'm like, come on.
I have found that if the title of the movie is The Imitation Game and you say Imitation Game, Siri will often not give you a result until you add the or.
That's worse.
If you're like,
that's not making it any better, though, is it? That's not making it any better.
Siri needs to be smarter in those situations for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, Alexa wins in a lot of those areas for sure. But with Siri's deep indexing now, so that apps that take the time, they can add their own content to Siri's overall search that is on the Apple TV, I'm really impressed with that as it develops.
What was really funny to me recently, and this is driving me insane, is the beginning of the NFL season, a lot of preseason games are coming on, and those games have been sponsored by Amazon. So there's this new series of great, great commercials about using Alex over there. I'm not going to say her name because she's sitting right next to me. And it triggers that damn thing so much. So it used to be it would trigger once and it would figure out that, oh, this must be a commercial, and it would just let it go. But now, for whatever reason, since the software update, it triggers it like 8 times in the middle of that commercial, and it floods it and it reboots itself.
Can't you change the name?
Yeah, but I've been calling
mine.
I've been calling it.
Why doesn't
it
everyone
Alex
just make it computer so they can do Star Trek all day?
Yeah, and then the other two names won't work with my family.
The answer to that one is I say that word, Brett, way more, the word computer way more than I ever say anything that sounds close to you know, that thing's name. But I changed mine to the name of the device, which is the word I can't say.
Yeah, why can't Amazon figure out to not even trigger it? I mean, they know their own ads. There should be a way
okay. I tweeted them. I literally tweeted them, and I said they should put in, like, back in the radio station days, we had something known as a sectone, and the sectone told the cartridge machines to start the next cartridge and rewind the cartridge above. So they could easily put in, almost inaudible to us, but audible to it, little noise that it plays, and when it hears it in the first word, it'll know to ignore this for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, they already have that in their ads because the Amazon's doing audio ad tracking.
Doc wants Apple TV to go back to being an 8-track.
So that device is already listening to the ads that you're watching on TV and reporting that data back to Amazon, right?
More than likely. So, because that's an easy way for them to do their own internal ad tracking. Yeah, so make it stop listening when they know it is listening to itself.
Yeah. I had Alice this morning.
Then your Nest is telling it if you've gotten up to go to the bathroom during commercials.
Right.
It's got tinkle ears. Ellis asked me yesterday, he said, could you change my Echo so that it responds to computer and not Gertrude? And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. So I changed it over. And he's like, you come in. And I'm like, I've done it. And he's like, but you haven't left the sofa. Yeah, I did it on my phone, Ellis. I don't have to stand in front of the device to do it. It's okay. And he hadn't worked that out. And he was like, okay, I just went down and see, look, Ellis's Echo, change it to computers. Dead simple. And then this morning at 6:30, he's trying to get Gertrude to do stuff. So he's going, computer, computer, computer. And he's getting louder and louder and louder because he's getting so pissed off with it because it's not responding. Whereas it worked fine when it was just Jeff.
That's because it doesn't understand his Birmingham accent.
I don't know. It worked fine until he changed it.
I got to tell you the cutest story about this. This is super funny. I'll make it fast. When Emma was probably like 3 or 4, we used to tell her that we wired the whole house with cameras so that way her mom could see her. And whenever she's doing something bad, I'm like, you know, you better cut that mess out because mommy can see you right now. And she'd be looking around. And so every once in a while, she would, you know, ask Nana questions and Nana would answer her. And she'd be like, oh, my God, Uncle, there is cameras. I'm like, I told you, I put them there. And then that ruse went on for a couple of years. Well, about 3 or 4 months ago, when I installed the Netgear Arlo, she seen me pull this box out and I had 5 new cameras. And she was like, are you guys moving to HD? And I just because she wanted to know if she would get in more trouble because the picture is clearer. Because I used to always yell when I would tell Cortana to change to ESPN sometimes or even a Disney Channel, she would pick the SD version and not the HD version. I'm like, you're a 4K machine. Why would you pick the low resolution channel? So I don't know. I didn't know she was ambiently picking up all of the stuff that I say when I yell at it. So in her brain, we were getting HD, or she said H4D, because I think I also say 4K around her a lot. And then she wanted to know if she was going to get in trouble faster because of the new cameras.
We had a thing with Ellis. He was about 3 years old. And we took him to see Santa Claus, and we thought we were going to do the whole screaming abdab thing. But we'd been winding him up when he's 3 or 4, something like that. And we'd been winding him up about the alarm on the window, the sensor alarm, had got a little flashing red light that was on. And if you tap the window, it goes off. We'd been telling him that Santa Claus was watching. And when the red light was flashing, he would be watching what we were doing. And of course, Ellis was so young that he thought that when he went into a room, the light would only start flashing because he'd gone in the room. So it was like, if he could see the light, then Santa could see him. That's his theory. Because when he didn't look at the light wasn't on. So we told
and
him.
And when
this
the clock on the microwave is on, then it's watching.
No. We just did the controls on the sensors right on the alarm. So anyway, we went to see a Santa at a local garden centre, and Sharon said, "I'm going to go off and do some stuff. You take him in and see Santa." Yeah, okay. So I'm stood in the line, holding on to him. We get up to the Santa, we sit down, and the Santa says, "Have you been good? What's your name?" "Ellis." "Have you been good, Ellis?" "Yes, I've been very good." "Okay," he said, "because you know I've been watching, right?" And Ellis went, "Yes." And he said, "On the little red dot on the box." And my freaking ass clenched. Never mind Ellis's. And I was like, "How'd you know?"
I hope those guys are all trained well enough to go, "How'd you know? Like, who told you?" Like, I hope they're good enough not to spoil it, because every parent must pull that crap now, especially with Alexa listening and all this stuff. It's like, it'd be super funny because now you can tell kids, "Look, Santa can listen to you." I'm like, "Santa's elf name is whatever that thing is. Just ask it questions and see if it's real." You can probably blow kids' minds right now.
Yeah, so Sharon and I were out there, and she said, "How'd you get on with Santa?" I said, "Ellis is fine." I said, "But if that red light story's true, we're getting sod all."
That's brilliant. Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
What store were we doing again?
We only did one.
Tim Cook says we've got a moral responsibility to help grow the economy in the US. Apple took a lot of stick for this, didn't they? Because when Piers Morgan had his CNN show, he was constantly banging on about Apple, why they got all this money in this war chest, and yet they don't bring manufacturing, etc., back to the US shores.
You're going to get me going on this, right?
That's a good thing. If Tim's saying they've got to do that, and they're going to use the money, and there's going to be some tax holidays, maybe, I'm sure, to go along with this, don't get me wrong, that's a positive, surely. They should be putting
Here's the thing in the US. There has to be it's great that Apple's doing this, and I'm not bashing on Tim Cook. I think it's great that they're coming out and doing this. I also applaud... last week he was running around Texas. They're doing a whole coding thing with community colleges. So they're making the steps in the right direction to where it needs to change at a much more fundamental level. And Apple's making some efforts towards that. But the problem here in the U.S. is everybody hears this and they think, oh, Apple's going to open up, you know, a bunch of U.S. factories, and we're suddenly going to have all these manufacturing jobs and blah, blah, blah. But then when they find out the reality is that Apple is working to open up some factories or like this new data center, you know, then they just get flack because, well, it's only going to create, you know, 50 new permanent jobs. So they're not doing job creation, and then it becomes bad on Apple. But the thing is it's not about Apple making this change. They're making steps in hopes of setting examples so that other people will also work towards making change. But there needs to be a whole fundamental change in the U.S. on how we do education, how we do training. We just don't have the workers to supply. I mean, they could open up factories today and we would not have skilled trained people because there's no emphasis on that in the US, and there hasn't been for so long. Mm-hmm. So, it's a much larger change, and people just get this idea, this false idea sometimes when these stories come out that Apple's going to invest, you know, X millions or billions of dollars, and suddenly overnight everything's going to be fine. And that's just not the reality. And so it's great that Apple's doing it, but it just, a lot of the focus is put in the wrong place, I think.
You know what I say about that, which is just super, super crazy, is I hate when people say that, because the hammer that I like to throw back is something that Apple talks about at every WWDC, right? So at the latest WWDC, he brought the number up, and sorry, my drug-induced comas aren't going to let me remember the number. But since iOS came out, Apple has actually created, I think the number was like 500,000 jobs or something of that nature. They have been creating jobs forever.
In the U.S.?
I think it was 2 million, what they quoted.
In the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm talking
in the U.S. They're counting every developer who creates an app that... You know, they sell
No. So it is funny because people say, okay, you're doing it right now, right? But you look at companies that started out from an iOS thing that now they're leaning towards 40,000, 50,000 employees, right? pick any of the driving services, for instance. Pick Postmates, for instance. There's literally people that have, there's legislation being passed about the fighting of the jobs that were created by the iOS economy. So, and I'm not saying that that's a false swoosh, but our thing is we keep going back to people want to move a wrench and move something down a line and move a wrench. That's all going away anyway, because we're getting where we are. So what people need to be doing is picking up this engineering stuff and all that stuff. People think that they want to get the kind of jobs that allow them to look at a thing and say this widget is okay and still get paid $25 an hour. They want these factory jobs, but they want them at prices that will never exist anymore. And they want to do it where it doesn't require learning a new skill or some other stuff. And that's just not going to happen. No one's going to go out there for you and fix it. And then so in this really, really great article and this podcast I just listened to about this place in the South, and I want to call it in Georgia, but it was a guy who got out of the Southern Poverty Law Center. He got out of a case that was going to basically have him put away for life. And one of his give backs was he started this coding academy, and all of these people that are in transition, a bunch of veterans and guys that were, you know, having problem with the law, they put them in his place and they taught these couple hundred guys how to code. And these guys are going around their neighborhood solving real problems because somebody was smart enough to build a tech center to teach people who were having a dying job thing because a factory had closed and some other thing happened to their town. And they just decided to fix it by tech. And there's a new one happening in Tennessee right now, kind of near where Victor lives. Those ideas are what's moving. Like converting that old thought process, the old coal miner thing. Actually, there's another one. It was on 60 Minutes like 2 weeks ago. This coal miner town in Kentucky, they changed their stuff into a coding. Their old union house, they turned it into a coding school. And now they got all these coal miners learning to code. These guys are getting jobs, not that crap that Trump's talking about and everybody in their stupid U.S. factory jobs. We just really have to change the way we're thinking.
Well, okay, I don't want to be political about this. I just thought the sentiment that is being issued is right.
The sentiment is definitely right.
Of course that's going to be political.
But I didn't want a huge political... Because I get enough crap for slagging off the US politicians as it is. We've lost listeners galore.
You shouldn't get any crap.
And you brought up Piers Morgan. Like, it was guaranteed.
I know he's a tosspot, but he's actually... You know, what he said there was actually true. Apple's got a big problem, the fact that it's got a massive war chest overseas. And the proportion of its income that is overseas versus in the homeland is increasing rapidly. They've got to find a way of get something back in. So there has to be some kind of willing shown on their part to then try and resolve the problem. And then they have to.
They've already said that they're willing to bring a lot of that back if some of the restrictions and costs change.
It's purely the cost attack.
Well, but I mean, to be honest, that shouldn't stop them. They could even today do that. I mean, yes, they would need to pay, what is it, 35% corporate tax on it, something like that.
Yeah.
Or 25 or something like that. But no, they could do it today.
It's like 40%.
Yeah, they could do it today.
40% of that money just obliterates.
Yeah. They have plenty of money. They could do it if they wanted to. They are deciding
what to do. You have plenty of money. Give me 40% to do
it. I think if they did it, though, Patrice, the shareholders would have Tim Cook out in a heartbeat, because why would they give away 40% when they can give away 20%?
And that's the thing with
having plenty of money to do something like that is after you do it, you don't have plenty of money anymore.
Yeah, true.
And the funny thing is these articles oftentimes will show up in something like the Wall Street Journal, right? And it's like, okay, so you realize that you have a newspaper directly talking to people who do what? Buy stocks and companies. And you're telling them that, oh, they have a responsibility to come back and give away all of that tax money, which would do what? It would kill the stock. Like, it's just like, it doesn't make sense. And it's that stuff that was created sort of back in 1984, 85, that allowed companies to grow to the size of, say, Apple and many other companies here in the U.S., Exxon, whoever.
Cash risk that increases your stock price.
The minute that they set the system up the way the system is now, it's set that it's almost next to impossible to break it. And so we're kind of screwed with it unless we change it. So that's why I like the independent. I like people that do what I do. You know, like, I just took some old skills that I had from all this computer stuff and turned it into something that's tangible for anybody to buy it, making gifts and wedding presents. I mean, like, it's an industry where I would never die, but I still get to be kind of nerdy. Like, I watch the guys at the craft fairs and stuff because, you know, I go to them a lot. And that's the new economy, going back to the old craftsman stuff. because everybody wants that stuff.
Bob Beach is in the chat room, and he's a lecturer in economics. So I'm gonna read whatever he types over the next few minutes. He could type bottom, and I'll read it out because of that. but he's saying Apple will locate to production where it's the cheapest. It's as simple as that, and I think I agree with that. That it definitely will, but I'm almost certain if you look at the Mac Pro being built in Texas when I bought mine. I would eat my left shoe with a bit of pepper and salt if there wasn't Obama going into Tim Cook's ear going, you know what, we'll give you a little bit of tax holiday, but you've got to give us a return on US jobs. Mm. And it doesn't have to be a massive return on US, but you just have to show some willing. And that's why the Mac Pro production came back. And that's the way that car manufacturing works in the UK. That's why Nissan's in Sunderland, because it gets a tax break from the UK government.
Yeah.
And that's the way it always works.
I would even disagree with Bob Beach on that point. I don't think China is even the cheapest you could get. I mean, there are probably other countries. I don't know in Africa or something are cheaper.
No, hang on, Patrice, because I think it is the cheapest based on the tax break that you get from the local government. Is a different answer from the cheapest in terms of the finite production value.
Yeah, but they could probably get the same break in, I don't know, Ghana or whatever, but it's also about volume. It's about quality, and it's about sure. At the end of the day, the price target that they have in mind.
It's
not just about price.
Brett's got the right answer.
But Brett broke up. Brett broke up. But say again.
Twice.
Say again, Brett.
China has the trained personnel and the factory set up. Otherwise, you're paying for construction, you're paying for training, and you're probably getting lower output. So. Right. Overall cost is kind of, I'm not the economist, but the price of production is only, it's relative to the total output of the country. So
it's a holistic cost, not an identified production cost in value on its own. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, like having gone to China and been to more than 50 factories, even been to Foxconn where the iPhone stuff is created, the culture of the factory worker there is so different from factories I've been to in Korea and factories I've been to in Japan and even factories I've been to in US and right here in Hawaii. Like, and they're all making various things, like the one I've been to recently in Hawaii is a kimchi factory. The culture of the factory worker is so different that we are not bringing that back to the US. Like, the people that are saying that crap right now, you ask them if you would let their kid go and do a factory job, and they'll say no, because we're all taught
that would be illegal here.
Yeah, well, we're all taught that your kids aren't smart unless they're in college to go to be one of the big four. Like, even
again,
for those of
totally
us
wrong mentality.
All of us that switched into tech right now, we're the heroes now, but when we were growing up, we were the a-holes because we didn't want to be doctor, lawyer, accountant, you know, one of those big four. Right. And then we used to probably either get in fights at school or got chased. I didn't get too many fights because I was kind of big for a nerd. But, you know, like we all dealt with the shame of being the nerds. But nowadays, the nerd kids are the, oh, my God, you work at Facebook. You're a king. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's just funny. Like, I know a kid from Hawaii now that works at Facebook and everyone looks at him like a hero. But when he was growing up, everybody thought he was the biggest clown ever. And they used to make fun of him. He's the rock star right now. You know, so yeah, our mentality is off.
Yeah. Arctic Musher in the chat brings up another point. He says that most components are made in China, and that's not even true. A lot of the parts are made all over the world. So even in the US, there are, I think the displays Taiwan. And some both. Chips are made in the US, for example.
Bob Beach has written something, but I'm not reading that. No, Bob's put cheapest taken into account quality of production, of course. Yes. There we go.
Yep.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Thank you so much for their support. If you can support UK2, then please go to britishnetwork.com/UK2 and that'll give you the portal that'll enter for your repeat business, if you like. And also then we'll get kudos for that. Or you can go to /sponsors and you get all the offer codes that UK2 offer to BTN listeners. And they work for returning customers, not just brand new customers. Loads of stuff to check out. SSDs, server SSDs are a big thing for them at the moment. We've got a couple of banners. If you click on those, That'll take you through to the special offers that they've got for BTN users for servers running SSDs. Tons of stuff going on there at the moment. And also, it is Donations Day. It is the 1st of September. Now, we've had a bit of a problem with Patreon donations because people's are lapsing because PayPal are cutting them off and they don't know about it. So what we've done is we've set up paypal.me/British Tech. If you'd like to give a donation each month, then all you have to do is put that in your browser and go to paypal.me/British Tech and donate an amount of money that you want to give us each month, the equivalent of your PayPal or whatever, or of your Patreon or whatever you want to put in. The reason we're doing this is because we don't want to badge you all month about giving us money, but we do pay Kyle to do the news show every day. And if the amount of money we have drops below £250 a month, then we can't pay Kyle to do the show anymore. And we want to keep that show running. It's important that we keep that running. So please, please, please donate to us at paypal.me/British Tech. We're also going to be putting a button up where you can put a standing order, a subscription, if you like, and then you don't have to think about it. The benefits here are Patreon aren't taking 10% off the top of it, and also they're not taking the £1 that they have to pay the VAT man because you're paying us direct through PayPal. There is no VAT charged on top of that. And thanks to Hobbs today, because he gave us $5 a month and he ended up having to pay $6 a month. So instead, what he's done now is cancelled his Patreon donation and given us $6 every month through PayPal. So he's given the VAT money to us direct. We're a not-for-profit organisation. We don't pocket the money. It money goes back into providing all of the services that we give you as BTN. So you're not helping the drinking habits of me and Muller on a Friday night. It's everything. Everything that goes on in the BTN world. So please, 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 first of the month is Donations Day. So 1st of September, please donate to BTN.
So are you asking people to move over from Patreon?
So, yeah, Patreon, I mean, we've had an issue. Muller's looked tonight and found out that he's been pwned via Patreon as well. So they've got his login details. So he's promptly changed that this evening. Didn't know about that. And also... Patreon take a VAT payment off you because they're a single organisation. They have to, and they have to pay it to UK government. We don't get that. They take 10% for running the service for us, which is fair enough because they run the service for us. We've got no problem with that. But then we're also losing 4% through PayPal as well as. So if you just give us a donation through PayPal, we don't lose the VAT and we don't lose the 10% to Patreon. We just lose the 4% to PayPal. That's it.
All right. So you want me to cancel my Patreon and go to give that URL again?
Paypal.me/British Tech. I didn't know. Thank you for mate. If you've been subscribing to us, I do appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
I hadn't realised. I do apologise, man. You shouldn't have to subscribe. Or donate.
Happy to do it.
You give plenty, man. Thank you so much. I give you sod all. But no, the Patreon are great. I'm not slagging Patreon off, but by the time, all the problems that we've had...
Oh, I get it.
We were getting like £400 a month from Patreon, and just because people were losing track of their donations and PayPal was stopping and cutting off their accounts with Patreon, and they weren't restarting when they put the new credit card details in. So they were just lapsing. So this way, if you go direct through PayPal, that won't be a problem. And we'll have a button up for subscription as well, so you can just put a standard monthly amount in. That'll go on the web page as well at the end. Thank you very much. The Hoyer events are starting. I've been fitted for my Unikus. I'm hoping to get them on the 17th and 18th, which is a Uniku event up in Cheshire that I'm attending. I'm actually speaking at it as well, which I haven't thought about what I'm going to say, but I'll think of something. And also... I'm going to an event that's launching the unit itself within the first UK practice in Northampton next Friday. So if you would like to know more about that, we'll be videoing some people talking about what they've seen for Hoyer, and we'll be showing it to you in some up-and-coming productions. But Unique is brilliant, I've got to say. It was absolutely brilliant. There's a video on our YouTube channel. There's also a video on the BTN servers about how I got fitted for it and how it works, and it is pretty impressive stuff, I have to say. And the iMaterialize stuff, where they then carve it out of this block with this sintering technique, looks incredible, absolutely incredible. Check out Hoyer. There'll be loads happening from them in the next few weeks, and then John and Mark Culshaw will be down here in the studio for a curry and talking us through all of it and how it's all gone. Mark has broken his arm though. He fell off a ladder and landed on it. So get well soon, matey. Now then, Darren Hendley has won himself last time's spider. There is a new spider coming up. This is the second spider that's out for operation. We need to think of a question for it, and I can't think of one off the top of my head because last time we did the primary colours of red, green, and blue, didn't we, for your monitor. So if you're not using red, green, and blue, and you're dealing with printed material, what are the four primary colours for printed material? Did you just say the answer, Doc, you arse?
Doc.
I'm going to get... what's that?
You also have to be able to say what...
No, okay, that's two bleeps now.
I'm so sorry.
I can't believe it.
It's not the answer that I've just bleeped out from Doc, all right?
Jeez. It just came out.
I work with amateurs. Like, you're writing slagging me off.
Oh, God.
I think it's more troublemakers than amateurs. Professional both. Troublemaker.
Oops.
There you go. Thanks, Brett. Thanks for backing me up.
Thanks, mate. Right. Okay, there we go. That's, if you want to win yourself the second Spider Express, then all you got to do is tell us what the four printed colours are for primary printed colours. There we go. That'll do. And we're in. And we'll think of an even better question. I confess I'm a geek. You can't type it in the chat room because I've got to bleep that as well now. It's email only, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and type on it Century Competition so that I can find it. Otherwise, you get nothing. And if you send it to the wrong email address, you're not getting anything, all right? what's the cool thing then, Doc? Start us off, mate.
All right, mine's kind of cheesy, but I have to admit, I've been captured stuck on this couch and I've actually fallen in love with it. It's pretty amazing. Apple Music in their little new adventures, it has the feel of Johnny I all over this, but Carpool Karaoke is freaking amazing. It is so well done. If there's a lot now, like all the episodes are basically out. If you just want to test the waters, let me let you start with episode 2 with Alicia Keys and John Legend. That thing is well produced. It's very well done. The things that I like about it, and I was joking when I said this because as I was watching that episode, they kept singing like songs that would take you back to like high school, or it would remind me of like a picnic in the backyard at my grand's house. And, you know, I'm like, we call it chicken skin here. You know, I was like, I'm getting chicken skin from listening to these songs. I go, the only thing that would make this cooler was after I stopped the Apple TV, if I could just grab this playlist and all of the stuff that they were singing or talking about, and then just go straight to my phone, it's all ready. And I was joking, and sure enough, like Apple's not dumb. Of course they did that. I didn't even think about it, but they did it. So after you watch a show, you can stick all the songs that were in it that you really liked, and you can sort of build a playlist, or you can just take the one that they already made for you. Yeah, it's incredible, though. It's really, really well done. And I was kind of like, I thought it was maybe kind of a weird idea when they first started this venture, but I hope they continue to create and produce more content. And I know that they're currently eyeing buying Culver Studios in Culver City, Colorado, so that they could do another like a sitcom. So they're going to just buy a whole studio rather than have it produced somewhere and brought in, which also might lead to Apple making more and more really cool content. So I hope this grows. But for right now, just check out Carpool Karaoke.
I got to say, I thought the first one with Will Smith was a bit shit.
Yes, it was. And yep. I was about to cave in.
A lot
you notice
shit.
I skipped that one, right? Think of that as Star Wars Episode 1. Just skip it. Just go start from 2.
I quite like Star Wars Episode 1, so let's not. But no, I thought to myself, you know, the formula kind of worked. James Corden's a very Marmite kind of guy. You either love him or hate him. There's no middle ground with him. But it did kind of work as just keeping it simple. And I got to show you, I love the Broadway one. The Broadway one was absolutely awesome.
Yes.
Mostly because I fancy the girl with the blonde hair, although I don't know what her name is. And my wife knows I fancy her, so I'm not going to get into trouble over that. but she is hot. There's something about her that's she's got the same genes as me, or needs the same genes as me, or something like that. But it kind of worked, whereas the new one, it's just kind of like you've taken it away from being that simplistic thing that it was and turned it into a mammoth event that it isn't. And are you saying that it's kind of got that back without Corden in there? It's still, it's still intimate. It's still...
He makes cameos in all of the shows.
Oh, yeah. All of them?
Yeah, well, the ones I've watched so far.
Yeah.
I didn't see him. I didn't see him in the Game of Thrones one, but maybe I missed it.
Mm. No, I'm halfway through the Game of Thrones one. That one is just a little quirky because they're not super good, but it's funny. Right. It's entertaining. But just watch number two, and it will, like, man, just imagine that. John and Alicia hanging out together. Man, they're incredible. And it was amazing. Just watch it.
All right, I'll give it another go just because it's you, Doc.
Yeah, but Will Smith one, you could have just skipped it because it was Will Smith.
Well, no, the thing that got me right was you've got Will Smith, who's one of the biggest stars on the planet, who's actually really rather good, and you make something that's as shit as that with him. Mm-hmm. Give over. You've missed your opportunity there, most definitely.
What I also missed was the flow of the show. I think Apple added some transition within the parts of the carpool karaoke bits, and I don't know, that took me somehow out of it.
Deep Pan says if there's even a small risk of James Corden being in it, then it's a no-go for him. Sorted.
Fair enough.
Good pick, mate. Maybe. I'll let you know in a week when I've caught up. You're going to stand in judgment next week on this, right, Doc? Okay?
Yeah. All good.
Adam, what's your cool thing?
I may have picked this a long time ago in the past, but I have a reason for repicking it if it's a repick. And it's an app called iFlix 2 specifically. Mm. Or it may just be called iFlix now. But it's a little app if you're doing any of your own movie ripping for Plex or for iTunes or whatever. And I went through this a while back when I did my whole DVD collection and put everything in. And you want to get the album art and the metadata and all that stuff put together. And it's simple to use. It works great. One thing I like about it is when it's going out to find the album art, it makes several suggestions. So you get various different options. It's also great if you already have content, especially like TV show content that you've ripped in the past and you never tagged in like the seasons or the episodes to kind of get it organized. So it'll help you do all of that stuff on your older stuff. I think you can pull directly in from iTunes or you can just drop right into the app. So it's a relatively simple thing. You know, it's just metadata on your files, but I think this app does a really good job. And the reason it is sort of a repick is I believe it was just this week or last week, they added it to Set App. So I think the app itself used to be around $30, $35. I mean, it wasn't inexpensive, but now it's part of Set App. So if you already have Set App, then you may already have this app.
£34 in the UK App Store if you want to buy that on its own, and it's not part of Set App. So Set App is definitely a good purchase. That's amazing. A Set App's incredible value now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Unreal.
So it's my favorite little metadata tagger thing for videos. So I come back to it, infrequently because I don't do ripping much anymore. But when I do and need to throw something in there, it works great.
Cool. Now you're saying it's part of setup, but you're saying that your pick as well is part of setup. But I've got a story about this, Patrice. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. My app, my pick is also part of Set App. It's a new app from our friends from MacPaw. It's called Wallpaper Wizard. I like to change my desktop backgrounds quite frequently. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I just need something soothing, and I simply like change. This app basically gives you, I don't know how many thousand, I think they are saying something like 20,000 images or something as desktop backgrounds. It's a beautiful, very, very simple, very tasteful app. They have categorized all images into categories and subcategories and so on. And the coolest part is you can basically create your own collection. They call it the role, and then just set it to, I don't know, random or create an order and let it switch every, I don't know, couple of hours, 15 minutes, whatever you fancy. Or just click on it and say, okay, I want this one, and you will get it. And it works on all screens. So, I mean, you can have it the same picture on all screens, different pictures on different screens, whatever you want. And it's part of setup. So kind of it's free.
Kind of it's free for nine quid a month.
Yeah, for, I mean, you get it with setup. They also have a standalone version. You can get it on the App Store if you're interested.
I think they added like 5 or 6 apps this week. It was something I saw in the email.
And yep.
But the price hasn't changed, has it?
Nope.
Nope.
No. That's ridiculous. How many apps are there now?
Oh, God. There's a
lot. Over 100, I would guess.
No, I'm looking at it right now. Hold on. I can tell you. Dang it. No, just because I said that, now I won't go back to the view that has it all on one page.
So you're paying nearly as much. You're paying $15 for Wallpaper Wizard 2 in Oz at the moment, says Windrider.
Right.
And you're getting it for £9 a month, you're getting that and 65 other programs or something like that, isn't
73,
it?
73.
Okay.
I wasn't being ridiculous.
Sorry about that.
No, you was. It's funny, your 65 was kind of an exploded number, but it's actually past that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We got a copy of this 2.5 weeks ago, but it was embargoed. We couldn't mention it until the 28th. And all the stuff came through, and I downloaded it and looked at it, and I was like, those aren't very good. I don't want to say anything, but those aren't very good. So I wrote to Julia at MacPaw, who sent me the download code through. I said, I'm sorry, Julia, I don't want to speak out of turn, but all of those pictures are a bit shit. And she said, oh, thanks for pointing that out. And she checked with the developers. They put the low-res images in by mistake.
Oops.
So everyone who's got a review ready to go on the 28th has got to go back and rewrite it because they put the wrong images in. I can promise you that the images that are in the new one are high-res, whereas the ones I got were like 360p.
Yeah, Wallpaper Wizard does up to 4K, which looks great on the iMac.
Yeah, it does look great. And they look even on my screens here are only 1300 by whatever pixels. They're not massive. And even on mine, they look pretty rough. Are you sure you put the right images in there, Julia? No, check with the developers. We haven't. Thanks very much for noticing.
Good thing they had you.
Yeah. I think it was a service. There we go. You see, I wasn't being nice. Brett, what have you got for us, man?
Okay, so this is the coolest thing I have had in years. I like it so much. I walk around with it even when I don't need it.
Dude,
it's a screwdriver.
Thank God for that. I thought you were going to show an appendage then. Christ.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's Black & Decker. No, it's British.
It's the Black & Decker Gyro. So you can hold it in any angle, and when you depress the back, a light comes on and it starts spinning, and then it'll always spin in the direction you turn. Oh, and okay. The further you turn, whoa, the faster it goes.
Oh, that's
it's amazing.
Good.
Wow, you don't have to bugger with the switch.
There's no switch, you just turn.
Right.
That's genius. Why didn't anybody think of that?
Light.
It's kind of like a pedal-assisted bike, but you can... What the heck was that noise?
Oh, well, it started off with being Brett, and then it started off being my pick with an advert.
Okay. But that was like, wait a minute. That Brett's screwdriver just turned into a metronome. Dude, that thing is badass. I have to go look that up.
That is good. And it's British. If it's Black & Decker, it's British, mate. I'm just
checking. There's a link.
Because it's British. Amazon link as well. That's not good because you know I'm going to click that. You know I'm going to click that, man.
Yeah, that's what we
What's
do.
The price though?
About 50, I think.
$50.
50 is a prime price.
Oh dear me.
Yeah, they just came down. They used to be like $75. I used my dad's for a while, and it was like, I have to get this.
It's awesome. I really like that. Really
plus
like
the
that.
Charge in it lasts for like a month at a time, and then it just plugs in.
Yeah, but how much screwing do you do in a month?
I think it varies from month to month, and that's a really hard question to answer straight face. So
how much screwing do you do in a month? That was awesome.
Oh, mate, for me, I've got the wrong measure there. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. My cool thing, I've got a cool thing this week. My cool thing is Space Frontier. This is the shittiest game that you ever saw in your entire life in the App Store. It's free, but it's got, do you want the ads removed kind of thing. And occasionally it pisses me off because it throws up an ad when I'm in the middle of launching my spacecraft. But basically you get a very basic spacecraft that's got stages in it. And all you have to do is tap to start the launch and then tap when you want to eject the stages. And if you get it right, you get like a massive boost of energy. And if you get it wrong, then you only get a little bit of energy. And you've got like five stages to go through. And it's really tough at the start to get to Mars to drop off some of your passengers. But as you go on, you get like 12 stage spacecraft that are far easier to get there. But you can put more people on, and it gets harder the more people that you put on. The rings get smaller and that kind of stuff. And I'm bloody addicted to it. It's a morning motion game. You can sit on the toilet launching spacecraft.
So let me get this right. So the whole concept here is you got your missile, you tap it, and if you tap it at the right rate and the right time during your morning motion, then you achieve, like, blast off.
Movement.
Yeah. Is that right?
You have a blast. At the exact same time, Adam.
You land your people on Mars.
Yeah. So you got to tap your rocket at the right interval in order to drop off your passengers in the morning motion.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is Mars what you call your ceiling?
Dropping off your passengers in the morning motion. Here you go. That's
ceiling? Holy crap.
Do you want to see the size of my rocket? Look at that. Look how many stages that rocket's got. Look,
is that a red rocket?
That's a red rocket, mate.
What are you talking?
So how much does your rocket grow in a month?
You need the next time I'm going to need 123,000 to grow my rocket any more than it already is, which is a lot of morning motions. That's a lot of morning motions.
Oh yeah.
But then you decide how many of your spacemen you want to put on the rocket before you launch it, and then you have to trigger the the section ejections. There you go.
See, I always said that about that song, and everybody said, no, that's not it. And I'm like, he said, it's going to be a long, long time. It's the fucking man. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I've had my legs numb with that guy. It's good.
Fucking man.
Unbelievable. And it's free. There you go, free. I picked an £800 set of microphone, which I'm wearing tonight, last week, and I picked a free game this week just to balance it off. There we go.
There you go.
Yeah. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK. You can go back about 10 episodes on Brett's podcast and find me. And then on my own show at solid.fm. It's the Solid Podcast with Duke Rock.
The Mullers put Ewan Rubsey's rocket. And Deep Pan says Kim Jong-un has left a favorable review in the iTunes store.
Oh, man.
Adam, where are you, mate?
You'll find me at MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, and MacCast all over the internet and social media. And then also almost every week at the iOSshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, where would you be?
Every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
When's the next cooking show out?
No idea.
You haven't done
right
one
now,
for
I'm
ages.
I'm so busy.
You're lightweight. You haven't done one for ages. I've been watching, you know.
Yeah, I know. I already know what I want to cook next. So just don't have time for it.
Yeah. And last but by no means least, Mr. Terpstra, where the hell are you?
BrettTerpstra.com, and then TT Scuff everywhere, and then Systematic and Overtired on ESN.fm, and Overtired will be coming back from a long hiatus this week. So I would say keep an eye out for that.
Excellent. Nice. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech as well. Don't forget it's Donations Day. That's paypal.me/British Tech. We're not going to do that every show. We're just going to do it on the shows that are nearest to the Donations Day. So we won't be saying that again next week. But thank you if you do give us a donation this month. We do appreciate it. We'll be back again on Thursday next week, not Friday, because I've got work on the Friday. But Thursday is normal. And we'll go through all the usual stuff, everything that hasn't happened in Apple, because we'll be waiting for a keynote the following week, which we're going to do a show for as well as. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening. Cheers, boys.
Hey, thanks so on the donations thing, there's no recurring option, no, right? So I've got to do it every month?
On that, yeah, but we're going to put a subscribe button on the website.
Can I just give you a year up front?
Yeah, go for it. But you don't have to give anything. You're very kind as it already is, mate. Thank you. You're giving cool. your time plenty. So.